To us, the great mystery of Christ's incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I was thinking recently about how Christmas always seems like a season full of questions. We've basically been asking one another questions about the holidays since Thanksgiving or a couple days before. What do you want for Christmas? Where are you spending the holidays? When does Santa get here? When are you coming over? When are you going home? And the most important question, what's on the menu for Christmas lunch? But there are other questions we hear being asked at Christmas, questions that go beyond the celebrations of a few days in late December. Questions like the one Mary asks when the angel Gabriel comes to Nazareth to tell her that she will give birth to a son named Jesus. Mary asks, how can this be since I am a virgin? Or questions like the ones that the shepherds must have surely asked as the glory of the Lord shone round about them and they heard the message of good news from the angels. What does all this mean? Or a question like the one the wise men asked King Herod when they finally came to Jerusalem. Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? This Christmas Eve, I invite you to ponder another question, a question that was just asked to us by the words of the well-known and beloved Christmas carol. What child is this? What child is this we ask and sing at the same time? And the answer comes in the course of the song. The answer comes in the words of the refrain. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard, and angels sing, haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. What a child he is. Even the shepherds come to guard him. The angels proclaim his birth and sing his praises in the night sky. And to the manger, we bring him laud, another word for praise, for worship. And all this guarding and singing and lauding, it's all done in response to what God has done. The initiative, you see, the initiative, it lies with God. He loves us enough to come to earth. It's hard not to see and experience the way we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. We literally put up decorations on the streetlights. We decorate our homes and wrap gifts and pull out all the old favorite recipes. And it is truly, truly wonderful. But there's another part to Christmas, the truly radical part of the story, and we can miss it if all our attention is focused on what we are doing. The truly radical part of all this is what God is doing. It is the choir of angels that lets us in on what God is doing. They sing to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then the shepherds, after they ask those questions, surely, they decide to go, and they run off even unto Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass. And after seeing the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, they return and make known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The shepherds become the first human evangelists, telling the world about the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. The angels and the shepherds, they tell us what the God of the universe is doing on Christmas. The creator of everything that exists, all that is seen and unseen, is sending pure love to his people on earth. The God of the universe loves us, loves you, so much that he decided to give up the glory of heaven and to become one of us. God, you see, wanted to make his love real in a way that we could understand, a way that simple, humble human beings could understand, in a way that we could all get a hold of. And so the invisible, all-powerful God had to become touchable, had to become human, earthly. That is, God had to get inside a body like ours. That is what Christmas tells us, that God became flesh. Another translation says the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. God became flesh with a body, a human body just like yours and mine. As a baby, he probably kept Mary and Joseph up at night with his crying. Mary had to feed him and burp him and hold him and cuddle him and change him. He did all the things that babies do, eating and sleeping and learning and growing, just like all the rest of us. And he grew up, this child of Mary and Joseph, and he learned how to work. He got hungry and he got tired. There's a story about him in the Gospels that tell of a time when he is so tired that he falls asleep in a boat in the middle of a lake during a terrible storm. The wind raged and the rain lashed against the boat, and all of his friends were filled with fear. But there's Jesus asleep in the back of the boat. He asked questions too. He was like the other rabbis, the teachers who lived and traveled and taught in the Holy Land. But Jesus was also different from the other rabbis. He spoke as one with authority, an authority that was very different than that of the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees. His teaching, his preaching, all the miracles he performed, all of this displayed the love and the power of God. He did nothing for his own glory. He spoke as God's beloved Son and enabled ordinary people like you and like me to know our Creator and our Lord. One day Jesus asked his disciples, the handful of men who were closer to him than anyone else in the world, he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" Another question. And you can imagine they looked at each other for a moment, no one sure who would speak first. Then Peter, feisty, impetuous, faithful Peter, he speaks up. And he repeats the message that the angels sang to the shepherds so many years before. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." There is still more, though, that Peter doesn't understand. The theological term for all of this that we've been talking about tonight is incarnation. The incarnation is how Jesus comes to earth in human flesh. But I can't really explain it to you. The Son of God with a body just like yours and mine, I can't explain the intricacies of how it all happened. It's a miracle. And miracles can't be explained, no matter how hard we try. But I know this, that he was a man, a living, breathing human being just like us, with a body that could be injured, a body that could be killed. He lived and worked and taught, and he kept asking questions. He kept inviting the outcast to come to the table. He kept touching the sick and the dying. He kept healing them. He kept surprising and challenging the status quo. And then one day, one dark Friday, they killed him, this Jesus, Mary's son. What child is this, we sing and we ask. What child is this? There's another stanza to this hymn. It's not in our blue hymnal, but it tells us about this child. "Nails, spears shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary." You see, dear brothers and sisters, Jesus is not just part of the story of Christmas. A cute little baby to go alongside the shiny trees and the sparkling presents and the homemade cookies and the red poinsettias. Jesus is not just part of the story of Christmas. Christmas is part of the story of Jesus. It is a story that begins before time itself, a story of God's eternal love for you and for me. You see, our celebrations during Advent and Christmas point us in another direction, to another season called Easter. Easter, a day which declares that God's love is more powerful even than death itself. God raises Jesus from the dead, vindicating his life and making it possible for us to become children of God. Through the obedience of the Son, God does this for us. God does this for us. What we cannot do for ourselves, God does for us. He restores us to a right relationship with himself, a relationship of love and trust. Remember what John says. "But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God." Dear brothers and sisters, the good news of the gospel, the good news of Christmas, is not what we have done or what we will do. It is about faith. The good news is that in Jesus Christ, God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. This child has come to save us. This child is the good news of great joy for all people. This child is Christ the Lord. Amen.